You're listening to the River East Church Podcast, a Jesus community for the world.
Christ is risen. We are Easter people. Christ is risen. Amen. So what does it mean to be Easter people, to have Easter as part of our identity? Good Friday is over, Easter has arrived, and in the world, uncertainty still lingers. Here in Canada, we are painfully aware of the bullying of the Empire to the south, who threatens to annex our nation and take over our economy. In these dark times, what difference does it make that as Jesus followers, our identity is based on Jesus' resurrection? For the next few moments, I'll set the stage for one response to these questions. First, by sharing an extremely condensed version of Diana Butler Bass's connection between rupture and identity, and then by integrating the stuff that's happening in the States and Canada into the larger story of our identity in Christ. In 2017, Diana Butler Bass, an American historian of Christianity, gave a presentation 3 days before Trump's first inauguration. And now, after his second inauguration, she has updated the ending to that presentation. Identity emerges around patterns of how we meet our needs. And patterns form within a predictable context. And at the same time, to be alive is to experience change. And often these changes are slow and developmental. Occasionally, however, we experience a rupture. A change so profound that it upends our very sense of who we are. In response to rupture, we often develop a new pattern of meeting our needs, a new identity. And the way we respond to rupture shapes our identity. Butler Bass proposes that in the last 140 years, America has experienced three big ruptures that have profoundly shaped their identity. And we all are witnessing how the American identity crisis reverberates around the world. Around the turn of the century, safety was the overriding concern for Americans. Theologically, how do we keep the gospel safe? Politically, how do we keep citizens safe? World War I was about keeping democracy safe. Trouble was, in America, safety only applied to white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. And Butler Bass calls the collective identity of that era a culture of safety. And then, rupture. August 6, 1945, the US dropped a bomb on Hiroshima. When 100,000 people could be obliterated in one act, nothing was ever going to be safe again. Old patterns of just protecting our own no longer worked. The response to rupture shapes identity. And Butler Bass names the new identity that developed a culture of security. Mutual survival became the driving force. Civil rights grew because there is more security when everyone is treated fairly. Environmentalism grew in efforts to keep the globe alive, to help our whole world survive. And theologically, humanism grew. Alliances between denominations emerged. And then, rupture. 9/11. 2001. America had money, power, one of the biggest armies in the world, everything possible in order to remain safe. and 19 guys with no money pierced those defenses in a couple of airplanes. Who else might get through to blow something up? The response to rupture shapes identity. Butler Bass calls the collective identity that emerged from this psychological wound as a culture of surveillance. Technology put eyes and ears everywhere. Americans became vigilant and began detecting one enemy after another, people from another political party, the elite media, even the neighbor. And then rupture, January 6, 2021, insurrection at the Capitol in Washington. The most well-protected people in the most well-protected building in the world were threatened by folks with flagpoles piercing the windows. The attackers slipped through the surveillance. The response to rupture shapes identity. And Butler Bass now calls the emerging American identity a culture of submission. For some, it is the submission of the short term. Keep your head down, maybe something different will happen in 4 years. For others, submission is simply giving up. And then there's the submission of the full-on loyal believer in Make America Great Again. But here's the thing, and some of you may be thinking this already. This is not our primary identity. These are not the events that we are primarily responding to. We have another story. These ruptures are not the ones that mold our spirit. I couldn't find an equivalent analysis of Canadian identity, and so I crowdsourced my question at the last Mennonite pastors' meeting. What events have profoundly shaped Canadian identity in the last century? And here are a few of the ideas that emerged. 1957, Lester B. Pearson won the Nobel Peace Prize for resolving the Suez Canal crisis. Or 1959, Prime Minister Diefenbaker dashed Canada's hopes of being a leader in military aviation and technology when he abruptly canceled the Avro Aero project to build supersonic jets. These events are not ruptures. However, they do contribute to Canada's growing identity as peacekeepers. The 1969 Official Languages Act made Canada officially bilingual. Again, it wasn't a rupture, rather a contribution to Canada's identity as a cultural mosaic rather than a melting pot. And then rupture. 2021, 215 unmarked children's graves were found at a former residential school. Canada can no longer rightly claim the identity of peacekeeper and mosaic when we have a legacy of ripping 150,000 Indigenous children from their families, their culture, and their community, and forcibly sending them to abusive schools to wipe out their Indigenous culture. The way we respond to rupture shapes our identity. With the work of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, with the 94 calls to action, with searching the landfill, Canada is developing an identity of every child matters. But here's the thing, and some of you may be thinking this already. As Jesus followers, even this is not our primary identity. All of these events take place within a much larger overarching story. All the ruptures that we have named this morning are caused by violence and betrayal. But the rupture of Easter is a rupture of an entirely different order. It is a rupture caused not by death, but by life. It is a rupture caused not by death, but by love. And the way we respond to the rupture of Easter impacts our ability to respond to all other ruptures, both national and personal. All the other ruptures that will continue to keep coming our way. The way we respond to the rupture of Jesus' resurrection shapes our identity as Easter people. The gospel proclaims that in the last 2,000 years, humanity has experienced three cosmos shifting ruptures. This liturgical clock is a visual reminder of these ruptures. The white is for Christmas. The red is for Pentecost. And these are stories for another day. Today, the gold is for Easter. In all three of these events, Jesus rips apart a tired and defeated story of the world. The old story, wired into the human psyche, is that death has the final word. We are born, we grow, we die. That's the end. That's the arc of our life. And when it's over, it's over. In this old story, whoever was powerful enough to inflict pain and impose death, that one controlled the world. But at Easter, Jesus ruptured that deathly story. Because of love and a vision of peace and justice, Jesus stood up to the empire. And the empire did what empires do. It wielded the power of death to silence Jesus. And God raised Jesus from the grave and conquered the power of sin, evil, and death. God says to the bully with the clenched fist and to the empire who bears the sword or wields the tariffs, "You no longer are strong enough to manipulate injustice to your own ends." God says, "My love in Jesus is stronger than death." Easter is a rupture not caused by death, but a rupture caused by love. What does it mean for us to be Easter people? The way we respond to the rupture of Easter shapes our identity. The way we respond to love shapes our ability to respond to all the other ruptures that bring death. So, back to how we began. Good Friday is over. Easter has arrived. And there still is uncertainty in our world. That is how the first rupture, the first Easter rupture, begins as well. Early in the morning on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, the women go to the tomb. With the women, we find the tomb empty. With them, we hear the question of why we are looking for the living among the dead. And we hear the answer, Jesus isn't here, he has been raised. In the Gospel of Luke, Even though the women are looking, they don't find the risen Christ right away. And like the women at the tomb, we today respond to the rupture of Easter by holding on to the hope of the resurrection, and by letting Jesus' love and God's power to raise the dead slowly seep into our thoughts and our decisions and our actions. That's the transformation of identity that Diana Butler Bass herself experienced through the resurrection of Jesus. In her theological memoir, Freeing Jesus, which, by the way, is in our church library when we return it from our home. In her theological memoir, Butler Bass describes her life as being in a cage. And I'll read from her words. It was not exactly walking out of the cage. It was more like crawling. My marriage had died. I did not fit at the college. Friends abandoned me. I finally told my parents about the abuse. One Thanksgiving evening, I sat on the cold floor of the garage-turned apartment, having had no company, no feast, no table to share, and I collapsed into a torrent of tears. I literally let go of everything, but most especially the pain, doubt, and brokenness that had attached to my soul. I felt utterly empty, forsaken, as if there were nothing left. I was so alone. And then I heard, as if a voice, familiar words. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not let it be afraid. I lifted my head from the floor, and I heard a final call. Rise. Let us be on our way. I got up, wiped my eyes. I learned that letting go, surrender, isn't the same as submission. Finally, releasing the fear that holds one back is freeing. Liberation, especially the sort woven into the love of God, liberation is not easy. There were no miracles. Slowly, month by month, I walked ahead, being saved by the most unexpected things. For everything that had died, something new came into being, small green shoots in a barren plot. Endings make room for new beginnings. The resurrection began to be real. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. I asked a friend who was a retired bishop in the Episcopal Church if he believed in the resurrection. He replied, "Believe it? I've seen it too many times not to." I think I became more evidence for his case. I started writing for the local newspaper, published some poetry, began to lead workshops, and taught part-time at the college. I found a new church, one that welcomes all sorts of doubters, seekers, skeptics, misfits, and outsiders. That congregation took seriously the call of God to heal and renew the world. I asked all the questions I had ever wanted to ask. There were new friends, some of whom would prove to be the most loyal and compassionate people I have ever known. I was free. And the farther I got from the cage, the more I knew that Jesus was with me. I reached toward him, and he reached back, like the image of the ancient icon of Jesus, pulling the dead from the depths of hell. Rise up. And so this morning, I invite us here to rise up. Please stand and read together a proclamation of what it means to be Easter people, our identity shaped by responding to the loving, life-giving rupture of God raising Jesus from the dead. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
We have walked the crossroad with Jesus.
And now we rejoice on the path of a new life.
We are Easter people.
We live in resurrection hope.
In the face of violence, we choose peace.
In the face of despair, we choose hope.
In the shadow of death, we proclaim life.
Because Christ lives, we also live.
We are Easter people.
Called to follow the risen Lord.
Not only in word, but in action.
In love, in service, in community.
We break bread together. We share our stories.
And we recognize Christ among us.
We are Easter people.
And we walk in the light of resurrection.
Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to the River East Church podcast, the Jesus community for the world. We are an Anabaptist church pursuing wisdom, prophecy, and compassion here in Winnipeg, Manitoba. If you'd like to learn more about us, you can find us online at rivereastchurch.ca. We hope you join us for next time, and until then, may grace and peace be with you.